Off the Ball Rugby.
And there was no doubt there was a lot of disappointment in the Galway air that they didn't have this win, because they're sick of losing interpros and they're sick of losing to Leinster. That's 13 defeats in a row to Leinster, and it's 10 interpro defeats out of 10 in the last two seasons.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 116 of the Racing Pod and Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week, folks, with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, a bit of crack as well. A reminder, folks, that the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free wherever you get your podcasts. How are you, Johnny, today?
It's funny, you asked me a question, I think, on Saturday about how it was, and I made a comment about the weather, and we ended up going into like this never-ending segue about summer football and winter football and all that. I came in a relative sunshine today, JD, and it's amazing how much better it makes you feel, but hopefully Leopardstown can survive the crazy weather we've had.
I feel like we should be all walking around with webbed feet. Mm. It's 193 millimetres of rain at Leopardstown the last 14 days, 22 millimetres as we record this Friday lunchtime in the last 24 hours. My latest understanding is that there could be an inspection Saturday morning now ahead of Saturday's card. And obviously Sunday's card as well. Eight grade ones at the Dublin Racing Festival. A lot of people travelling from the UK. They're going to do everything they can to get this on.
Yeah, and I suppose the fact that it falls on a bank holiday weekend and there's a fairly ready Sunday-Monday switch, which I think would be okay, would almost certainly be fine if tomorrow happens not to go ahead, is definitely a help. But unfortunately, it's becoming a thing now, you know, where Goran was for their big tie yesterday, went to the wire. Nace has had massive problems for its big day in recent years. But Leopardstown, it's very unusual. But when you get the guts of 60 mil in 24 hours, you know, and Leopardstown is utterly waterlogged in places. And even then, I was still thinking there'll be no problem with Leopardstown. But like, I live in South Dublin, and last night it was biblical rain. Like, so there's only so much they can do. And it makes it, if it does go ahead, it makes it a little bit testing, to borrow a pun, as a punter, because this is uncharted waters as another pun for Leopardstown. It's rarely really testing at Leopardstown, almost never. So that's tricky, because it's not, when you have in your head Goran on Thaiestes Day or Navan for the Troy Town, where you get this desperate testing ground, you don't know what Leopardstown testing really is like. Because
I do remember what it's like. I mean, back maybe 20 years ago, there was a lot of heavy ground Christmas meetings at Leopardstown.
Yeah. Rare now.
Back then, though, you'd take a bit of getting. Mm. Remember, there was a 3-mile chase, novice chase, forget the pass, another horse, and they were at it from about a mile out, and they were crawling over the line. Mm. So heavy ground at Leopardstown is just as heavy as anywhere else. As I say, as we record this, our belief is that there'll be an inspection Saturday morning ahead of Saturday's card, and obviously Sunday's card scheduled as well. But the query I have about this is, Johnny, why should we want to run Cheltenham hurdle or chase horses that you might win at the Cheltenham Festival and maybe bottom them out, like just around a month out, 6 weeks out from the festival?
Well, that's a really philosophical, spiritual debate, JD. How big is Cheltenham? And this meeting was brought about specifically because it was the national hunt answer to Irish Champions Weekend, which was a sort of a Joe Foley from Ballyhane Stud was one of the architects of that idea. And with the move towards festivals and how big they've become relative to the meetings that this used to kind of involve, the whole point was it was exactly halfway, more or less, between Leopardstown at Christmas and Cheltenham. Now, I mean, I saw an article, I think Julian Muscat wrote right in the Race Post again, about Irish horses winning at Cheltenham because they're battle hardened. I do not buy that at all. I think you can train a horse anyway to win at Cheltenham. It depends on your horsemanship or horsewomanship and how your gallops at home and how fit you can get that horse, and also what the horse wants as a creature in terms of turn up on the day. I don't buy that, really. And I feel, you know, when you see the owner of Kopec de Bords completely over the top saying it was heartbreaking that the horse was scratched, that's also an indication of how big this meeting is and how much it means to people. The Dublin Racing Festival is special. It's in terms of quality over 2 days, it's much better than Cheltenham because it's really compressed eight grade ones. And I do feel that this is in itself is a big day. Now, Cheltenham is still by a mile the mecca, but I mean, you have 6 weeks and you shouldn't leave a horse behind today. It was an argument about Brighter Days Ahead last year that she left her Cheltenham behind when she ran so hard at Leopardstown, but I don't really buy that.
Okay.
I don't know what you think.
I just remember there was the year at Plutar won the Irish Gold Cup, I think, and I just remember it was an absolute war of attrition. Mm. It was fallers that was came from the clouds and didn't live up to that in the Gold Cup. Now, the following year, won the Gold Cup. But I just feel that, like, if you're Galopin Deschamps and it's all about winning three Gold Cups.
Well, he's the one. He's the one you have to ask. Does it benefit his Shelton prospects by going to Leopardstown?
Winning in heavy ground over 3 miles.
He wants heavy ground, but he's an 11-year-old now who's, like, basically making... It's going to be very, very difficult to go back and win the race again. And he was beaten at Christmas. He's exactly the horse for that debate. And if you put that on social media today, you know, should Galopin Deschamps give everything to win this, or should he be prepped for Cheltenham? There'd be a split response, I think.
Yeah, he's 10.
A 10-year-old, sorry.
Yeah, and the thing about Galopin Deschamps, this is the 1:15 schedule for Saturday, is the first grade one, but the Gold Cup is probably the big one on Saturday. Half three scheduled, 3 miles, half a furlong, 13 runners for the Irish Gold Cup, sponsored by Paddy Power, grade one race. I mean, he's won the last three editions of this race. So there is a huge prestige to winning a four-timer in this in the Irish Gold Cup. I mean, this was the Vincent O'Brien Gold Cup back to the 80s again. You're talking about, like, the importance of things. So it is a bit of a way up. And obviously he's going to be trying for his life. So maybe you just need to treat everything like he could have an injury in a month's time, God forbid, and he wouldn't turn up at Cheltenham. So maybe you just need to treat every race as it is.
Cheltenham will be more difficult as well for him, like with the field that's there. I wasn't at Leopardstown at Christmas, but my endearing memory in terms of atmosphere, like some days if I have a few drinks in me, I go on YouTube and I look up Denoli winning the Hennessy, and I wasn't even into racing at that stage, but I get really emotional from the noise because that's gone from racing a lot. Now, you go to race meetings and crowds almost need to be like having a party or a student day to get involved. They're just becoming more reticent, except for the big days. Galopin Deschamps, when he took it up briefly after the last at Leopardstown, there was an unbelievable roar. And if Galopin Deschamps jumps to last tomorrow, the connection to that horse, the buzz they will get from him potentially winning that race again will be well worth it in terms of if he does win it. He will bring the house down. Like, he genuinely will. He's massively popular. He's such a likeable horse. He's so recognisable. I suppose he's why National Hunt fans will say the flat isn't... Why would you bother with the flat when a horse retired at 3 years of age? You know, Galopin Deschamps isn't worth anything when he's retired. He'll race and race and race, and we love him for that. To have 20,000 people at Leopardstown, there will be an incredible atmosphere for that Gold Cup, and that's why for me, let's look at this race. If you ask Willie Mullins that, he would definitely say, I'm not here to talk about Cheltenham, I'm here to win this race, and I respect that as well. He's an Irishman and this is our big Gold Cup.
So Galopin Deschamps 13-8, one of 13 runners for the Irish Gold Cup, and this is just an absolutely cracking field. Gaelic Warriors in there, former Arca winner Cheltenham, Factophile has won at two Cheltenham festivals. Afrodel Fury was the big winner of the Savills Chase at Christmas. Another way of thinking, the reigning Gold Cup winner from Cheltenham last season. Spindleberry won the Fairy House Gold Cup. I Am Maximus dual Grand National winner with Jack Kennedy riding. Grange Clare West, course and distance winner. This is an incredible field. The money has come for I Am Maximus, by the way, into 10-1, second at 50-1 at Christmas. Jack Kennedy riding I Am Maximus, that is a strange jockey booking.
Yeah, he's. I think that might be his second ride for WP this season, and the other one won, and maybe he's had more, but they're the ones that come to mind. It's the only disappointment of the race is Haiti Couleur, who reportedly isn't a good traveller, and just this is just unfortunate because whatever about the doubt about the meeting, you know, with boats kind of moved elsewhere and all of that, and Rebecca Curtis decided that it just wasn't in the horse's interest, and I absolutely respect that, because if you don't like travelling in a horse box and this would have entailed like hours more, I can see that. So we've only an Irish field, but at the same time it's an intriguing race. There's so many narratives behind it. Will, I know the way you're thinking, come back to some sort of form, and you know, we have there's 100%, it is 100% true that he was not being prepared for Leopardstown last season. He was being prepared for the Gold Cup and they're working back from that. That was the case this season, but I mean, I was a bit more forgiving of him than you were at Leopardstown at Christmas, but Gavin Cromwell said afterwards he was very disappointed. So he has to show something here. I really do feel he has. Gaelic Warrior, could he win under Patrick Mullins? I don't think he can, going left-handed over this trip. Maybe he can. Can Factophile bounce back to form, even the form he showed in the race last year? Can Afrodel Fury back up that win here at Christmas? Can I Am Maximus back up that run at Christmas? Can Spindleberry justify coming here? She was favoured for the Testies at one stage. And even another horse at a big price. Can Grange Clare West, with the ground as bad as it is, keep up the great form? Brian Hayes, who got married about a month ago and won the Dan and Joan Moore and had a treble at Navan. So it has a lot going for it.
It's like one of those TikTok things when you don't take a breath.
Like Gerry Hannum when this race is in the closing stages.
Yeah. Roaring Bull. Spindleberry, what about this mare? She's interesting. She jumps well. She gets the allowance. The ground is no issue. She should stay. I suppose the question is whether she's good enough.
Yeah, I remember I was sitting across there. It was the 22nd of February. So I'm just pointing across the studio and she ran up against Bioluminescence at Fairy House February of last year. And I remember, so we were just about to start football Saturday and I had backed Bioluminescence. I thought, like, she's not, Spindleberry's not going to be good enough to meet her. And she actually smashed her. But since then, she's beaten Firefox. Now, the last two races at Clonmel and Doncaster, she was entitled to win. But I probably didn't give her enough respect for how good she might be. Jeez, JD, though, this is an enormous, enormous step up in quality. And if she is good enough, she'll surely need others to disappoint.
Well, Aphrodite Fury being a bit overlooked given the way he won at Christmas, and he's 8-1. Is it that he had a lot of runs before that? He was stripping fit, he was working well. Why can't he go in again?
I you know, we tipped him up in the race at Down Royal when he was second to Envoi Alain at the prices, and I think he was 14-1 that day, was backed into 9-2. How people continued to back him at Leopardstown when he was 20-1 the day before. At the off, he was still really strong, 7-8, 9-8, 7. I don't know about you, I can't back horses at that price when in a grade one when they were double the price the day before. But people who know better than me still backed him maybe that day. I think he exposed the fact that there were other horses in the race who just weren't going to form. Galloping Deschamps, there were maybe doubts about Willie Mullins' horse at the time. He wasn't at his best. And then that was left to the likes of Faster Slow, who you could easily oppose. I know that we were thinking you could easily oppose. Maybe it was a process of elimination. He jumped right at times himself in the race and he was still good enough to win it. I can't see him. I cannot see him following up, but as the man says, I've been wrong
so
before.
So Galloping Deschamps then, he's going to strip fitter for Christmas, obviously, because it was his first run of the season. He's won a Soft Ground Gold Cup over Further. He loves jumping at Leopardstown. He probably wins, doesn't he?
I wouldn't say he probably wins, no. He's 13-8 now as well, which obviously implies that he's roughly 37 or 8% chance of winning. 13-8 with William Hill. So I just feel for... I was wrong saying he was 11 when he's 10. I still feel, JD, for a staying chaser to keep producing the goods, it's very, very, very difficult. It's really hard, the racing at the top level.
Denman caught a star.
And in the end, Don Denman, like it did, he did, at the end, he was kind of a bit of a, you know, it took its toll in the end, like carrying all those weights and the Hennessy and all that. And like the races that he has to give everything over 3 miles. It's very tough. And he should have been winning the last year, with or without a run. He should have been beating the likes of those horses. I'm not sure what he achieved. I know beating Spillane's Tower looks great at Punchdown. I'm not sure what he achieved at Punchdown looking at the horse in behind, and he was slammed by another way you're thinking in the Gold Cup. But maybe people will say his best performance ever was in this race last year, or certainly in the race at Christmas before it.
I think he wins.
Then you should be all over him at 13-8, because if he performs, I think he wins. If he gets to, if you promise,
but you're not sure. Then, if you're not sure, what is your eye catching instead?
I have to say, no, I wouldn't be having a bet in this race. I think there are too many question marks.
Horse do you not like?
Gaelic Warrior, for a horse who is absolutely better going, he's still out to his right at times. It's very, very hard to get away with that.
He has won an Arkell at left hand.
He has won an Arkell. He did win at Aintree over 3 miles won, got a really confident ride by Patrick Mullins that day. Maybe, you know, some people say he was unlucky in the King George. It was a muddling race and there was the whip issue and this and that. But that was right-handed. And for me, he gives too much away. He's run some bad, bad race at Leopardstown. This is a real stamina test as well. So way too many doubts about him. He'd be my lay in the race. I like Fact of File in to a point, like, but you nearly want about 8 or 10 to 1 to back
him. If it was 2.5 miles, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you there. I do wonder about the trip. Like, he was floored by Galloping Deschamps in both races last year, but he actually ran well. Now, he ran brilliantly behind Gaelic Warrior at Punchestown. That was a great performance. He's a question mark against him over the King George. But he's not in the Gold Cup, so this is his kind of Gold Cup.
Yeah. The one at 40-1 I liked was Stellar Story, if to maybe reach the frame, has not had his ground at all of late, and will beat the Jukebox Man in a novice hurdle at Cheltenham, the Albert Bartlett, at a big price, and then was second to Lecky Watson in the novice chase, whatever, the Brown Advisory, whatever it's called these days, at Cheltenham last year, has not had its ground. To me, is just a complete stare.
Far from the worst out.
40-1 Stellar Story.
What I'm 100% certain of here is that you will have quite a few horses in this race who are not going to run to form, like horses that are shorter than him in the market. That is absolutely certain, this race. They have too many doubts about them, ground doubts, trip doubts, going right-handed, going left-handed doubts, and that for me, I mean, a good friend of ours was on to me last night saying he really likes Grangeclair West at the prices, and he didn't really have the ground. Was a little bit unlucky in fourth behind Afdel Fiori the last day. So, and he was second in the race last year at 66s, and he's like the favourite, a 10-year-old.
Let's look at Sunday's Ladbrokes Dublin Chase Grade One. There, six runners at 2:10 on Sunday on this difficult week for weather at Leopardstown. It's going to be very, very soft ground, possibly heavy ground by the time we get to Sunday. Look, Marine National is a champion chaser. I think he's the best 2-mile chaser out there, right? But to me, he's a spring horse. He's a sunshine horse. He's Cheltenham. He's Punchestown. He's top of the ground. He's speed. And running a heavy ground here means it's a question mark. He should have won at Christmas, barring that mistake. And that's why I'm kind of more moving towards Mashburn, who won a heavy ground triumph hurdle. The extra, I suppose, test of stamina here will suit. And I would maybe give him another squeak, maybe give him another chance.
If for me, if there's heavy in the ground description, Marine National should, at the shortest price, he should be here as third favourite. In my view, I completely agree with you. He cannot win this race unless others flop if the ground is heavy. If it's soft, which is the best case scenario at this stage, I'd imagine, even for all that it was... was the chase track yielding to soft yesterday? I mean, unless Leopardstown is something from the moon, it has to be quite testing, JD. Like, Jesus Christ, the rain. So he cannot. You're absolutely right. It was an extraordinary run at Christmas, for all that he was beaten. That was on yielding ground. I backed him that race on the basis of his price, and apparently he was available at 3-1 on the course. Like, I backed him at shorter than that with my bookie, but I backed him on the basis of the bulletins that he was going well and the ground, and I wasn't sure what to make of Mashburn. And Mashburn for me emerged with credit in the race. I do feel that after his X-rated jumping, Cheltenham, Punchestown, particularly Mallow, I think they were like, we need to get him back on track, and our track needs to be left-handed here. It was left-handed. I feel he'd run a lot better, and he'd be my pick in the race. He's the type of horse that could go off like 5-4 here, because if Marine National is weak, for all that Solness beat him at Christmas, and Mashburn has cheap pieces on ability, potential, everything we know about him, he should be good enough to win this race.
Look, if you're following horses and you follow them over the cliff, and it's probably not a good idea to say if you followed
definitely not
Favori de Champ too recently, you'd be a millionaire, because you won a 66-1 at Christmas, then you won a 9-1 last week at Cheltenham. But if you're following Solness, the time to do it was last year when he was winning a 28-1, and
maybe
then he won again.
Done.
Like, he's going to go out in front in the van, but is it harder in these conditions to do that?
Not necessarily. Like, in fairness to him, I'm not sure he's as effective necessarily on this ground. And what's intriguing, which I actually have said, I just noticed now, he's a visor on instead of cheek pieces, which is why change your winning formula. If he wins, I can already see JJ Slevin and or Joseph O'Brien and or the connection saying, maybe now we'll get the credit we deserve, because, you know, he's just unheralded, never goes off favourite, and has won again. But for me, he's gotten great rides around here in the past. He will need others to disappoint.
The Timeless Sash Windows Irish Champion Hurdle, 3:20 post time, scheduled on Sunday, 2 miles, Grade One, six runners. This is fascinating again. For, like, you got Lossie Mouth against Brighter Days Ahead again. They met at Christmas when Lossie Mouth won, but it was Brighter Days Ahead, first run of the season. Panaros was the shock winner of the triumph, has not raced since the summer. El Fabiolo is back over hurdles, having been a top juvenile hurdler, then won the Arkle Chase, had the world at his feet as a chaser, but then the jumping went to pot. 9 years of age now. Castle Day Lad looks up against it, and Anzadam disappointed at Christmas, but was a very talented horse before that. This is great.
It is great in a funny way, because, you know, we've I suppose we're a bit reeling from the Sergino news, and we don't have a British runner in this race, but I guess the calendar is such, JD, that really you don't need to be running your good British horses in races like this, and I get that. I am disappointed more horses don't come over, but our prize money's not that great, and it's hard to win over here. But I could be well wrong on this. The more I look at it, El Fabiolo is a bet in this.
Yes.
If the handicapper is right...
I wish it was 8 runners, only 6.
Yeah, so... if it were 8 runners, you could be a lot more confident of backing him each way. And he does have, you know, Panaros could be still a very interesting horse, and Anzadam has a lot of ability. El Fabiolo was considered almost unbeaten over fences. I think he was 2-9 in that champion chase. So I remember working in Milton Keynes for a bookmaker, and it was, as it was coming to that champion chase, it was just felt like the flattest Cheltenham. There were all these odds on shots. There was a 2-9 favour of the champion chase. I was like, Cheltenham should not be like this. And in the previews beforehand, in the preview nights, I remember people saying, probably including myself, he takes a chance, but he's not a horse to fall. He never gives you the impression, and then he's jumping, fell apart over fence after that. He beat Glenn Killen by 8.5 lengths of Punchdown. Glenn Killen is a really solid grade 2 horse this season. Smashed him. He's rated 156. Lassie Mouth's rated 159. She gets the mare's allowance. She is not top class. Like, she's not, as against hurdlers of the top class male ability, she's not top class. Paul Townend said last season, I'll ride State Man over her 100%. She's not, she's definitely vulnerable. She has to obviously beat Brighter Days Ahead again. And El Fabiolo, who's a 9-year-old trained by Willie Mullins, who has the best form, who has the form to win this anyway, he looks a bit. I think he looks the best. And Anzadam, my old friend, who knows what he's going to do. Harry Cobden taking the steer.
Why is Lassie Mouth not top class? Where's the evidence for that against the males?
Because she was obviously smashed by Constitution Hill, which in fairness wasn't a bad run. But
yeah,
Paul
Kempton run.
JD Stateman is not one of the best hurdlers we've ever seen. And Paul Townend was like, no doubt in my mind. Yeah. That's why, according to what Rich Ritchie said, that's why they went to the mayor's race. He said, we can win the champion hurdle because Paul wants to ride Stateman. Paul rode Stateman. He was going to win the race last year. But for me, she's vulnerable. She beat Brighter Days Ahead of length the last day. That's not outstanding form.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
She did smash Anzadam, which maybe you'll say is very good, but no, I don't consider her top class in terms of, like, there are better hurdlers around.
Fingers crossed these race meetings go ahead at Leopardstown on Saturday and Sunday. Give one for the radio, Johnny. Pick one for the radio.
El Fabiolo.
That is a good selection.
3:20 Leopardstown.
This is on Sunday in Leopardstown's Dublin Racing Festival. So let's look back on Saturday then on the other grade ones, Johnny's the opening race of the meeting, and hopefully it all goes ahead. The Nathaniel Lacey and partner Solicitor's Novice Hurdle, 9 runners, 2 miles, 6 furlongs. So kind of a tune-up either for the 2.5 mile race at Cheltenham or the 3 mile race. Kazansky or Kazansky, whatever way you want to pronounce it, is very interesting because I watched him win over pretty much similar distance, 2.7 miles at Limerick at Christmas, and the conditions were pretty deep, as they always are there at Christmas, and Jack Kennedy rides him and should be a big player again. Love Me Tender was the, I suppose, the fly in the ointment, but Dr. Steinberg will be a short price favourite, but a bit of a paper favourite for me.
Yeah, this time 12 months ago I was saying Final Demand is way too short to win this race and what he's achieved, and obviously I was absolutely wrong on that.
Then he got beaten at Cheltenham, so there was probably some method in the madness.
Yeah, but he bolted up in this race and he's possibly a superstar, but I'd say if you said that to the Willie Mullins workers and the ladies and the men working there who knew Final Demand, to be like, no, this guy's the real deal. There's no suggestion that anyone says that about Dr. Steinberg, who for me is a ridiculously short price. William Hill is 6-5. I'd make this horse 2-1, 9-4. Dr. Steinberg, after he won at Navan in a grade 2 last time, in which
money's come for Love Me Tender. Just looking at it here. Into sixes, it was about tens yesterday.
If you asked, they're both Dr. Dino bred horses.
Elvis is in the building.
Elvis, if you asked, Love Me, if you asked one in Willie Mullins' yard, which of them is the best, Love Me Tender or Dr. Steinberg? At least if you asked that 2 months ago, before Dr. Steinberg won at Navan, I bet you they'd say probably Love Me Tender, who's been 1-4 in a grade 3, ran on behind Skylight Hustle in a flattered third at Leopardstown the last year, but ran on the suggestion that he would like this trip when Dr. Steinberg beat effectively two rivals at Navan because the favourite flopped. Danny Mullen said he keeps surprising us. Now that means that this was a horse who, with respect to Ballinrobe, won a bumper in Ballinrobe, having finished second in a bumper in Clonmel, beaten 22 lengths by Copec de Bourdes at Ferryhouse. He was beaten 8 lengths, 5th of 7 behind Morat at Galway. I don't think they ever thought this guy's top class. And as Tommy Lyne said to me during the week from X of the Examiner, the Galway horses, for me, they're not horses that Willie Mullins is thinking or people are thinking, we're going to be running them late into the winter on bad ground. They're more like, we'll run them until sort of the Royal Bond meeting. Now, they have continued with this horse and he keeps on improving. Surely he's not a 6-5 chance, though.
Kazansky is an each way bet to nothing for me. I mean, we know he stays. We know he goes in the ground. Like Jack Kennedy could have ridden Santos Osper, which Sean Rowan is on. And Dr. Steinberg, I think, is too short. And Love Me Tender has to prove it over the distance, even though the money's come for it. Because Anskai, each way bet to nothing at 5-1 for me.
I'd be wary of saying it, he's an each way bet to nothing, just because I think this race, there are in a race of unexposed horses, you don't really know what'll do you, maybe, or will he be good enough on the day. Now he beat County Final ahead. County Final is running off something like 126 later on in the handicap hurdle. I don't think that's top class form. After the race, Danny Gilligan was really extolling the horse's kind of toughness and quality. But I do quite like him. I just feel maybe he's priced according to Jack Ryden. And Jack, I was at Clonmel when Santa Sosper won. I thought he liked him quite a lot. So it's interesting he's chosen him, seemingly.
I kind of know what you're saying. Remember the nice guy who won at Cheltenham a few years ago? Mm. Had like about two ones beside his name, maybe in smaller races. And you think, well, we don't know what much is under the bonnet, and then you see it on the day. Like there's a horse in the juvenile hurdle, the grade one, at 150 over 2 miles. Called Bertutea or Bertutea, whatever way you want to pronounce it. It's a 250 grand purchase in the Jigginstown colour. It's won by 9 lengths at Limerick on heavy ground at Christmas under Sean O'Keefe, who keeps the ride. Definitely found this one an interesting outsider in the 150 at Leopardstown on Saturday, because this is the race with Narciso Haas, who bolted up at Christmas. Mosh 2 is in there, who's beaten Narciso Haas already at Ferry House. But like you're looking at Bertutea is 12-1. Only 7 runners now. It's a bit of a disappointing aspect to it, but that's what I'm saying. A horse might be just under the radar, but 14-1 in places.
I'll just give one for that race at a price. If
Selma Davari has not run, is that the one you're giving?
Yesh Hill, just in that
in the first one
in the 115. Don't be afraid to have a couple of quid on him. He was 4 lengths behind Kaczynski at Limerick, but he was. He was a 4-1 shot on that occasion when Kaczynski was 9-2, so he's actually expected to beat him that day. When Kaczynski beat him, and Kaczynski was good on that occasion. I wouldn't rule him out in a true run race here, running well at about 40-50-1 for Henry de Bromhead. He's quite likely raced. The juvenile race, I suppose, JD, there are three short price favourites trained by Willie Mullins tomorrow that you're like, should we be taking them on? The first one is the horse in the first race, which Dr. Steinberg, and then we've obviously Gallop and Deschamps, and the third is Narciso Haas. He's kind of the one I'm probably most reluctant to take on, but I do feel that Barbizon, I tipped him up strongly here the last day, and I know Gordon Elliott just felt that's not his running. Like, so he was 2-1 that day.
But why doesn't Jack Kennedy ride him?
Yeah, Maj 2 has better form, has already beaten Narciso Haas, but you know, run Jigginstown horses are always trying, and so
that's what I'm saying about that Bertuccia, maybe the other one.
Yeah, he's an interesting horse.
I mean, Selma Davari has never run in Ireland or England. It comes from Autoy, Rich Ritchie Cutters, I mean, Willie Mullins, I mean, a bit of money for it. What do you make it? I mean, can a horse easily acclimatise, just turn up and win first time out? Or is it hard? Do they need to get their kind of bearings, do you think?
No, well, off the top of my head, Willie has targeted this race with horses at biggish prices who've run very well in it. I'm thinking of, you know, if you look back in the race 2 years ago when Cargese won it, he had the first four home, and Ethical Diamond was six when went on to win the Breeders' Cup Turf. And he will run horse in this that have probably haven't, even High Wind in that race, I think, was actually first run. He brings horse over from France. This horse apparently like was impressive at Autoy, and she's definitely interesting. Paul Townend riding. And when Paul Townend is riding a horse for Willie Mullins, when he can't ride the McManus horse, who knows what the pecking order is. So I do feel Narciso Haas is very talented, but the last day Barbizon didn't run his race.
But this novice chase then, sponsored by Gough's Irish Oracle, 2:55 Saturday, Leopardstown, 3 runners, 2 miles and a furlong. Romeo Coolio and Cargese. Down Mexico Way looks the outsider of the three. And look, this is a grade one. We'll have to probably run a lifetime best. Cargese is a nice mare, good juvenile, won the county hurdle, course and distance winner, took a beginner's chase last time out. Definitely she can ask questions of Romeo Coolio, who I think on the basis of his last run probably needs further. Then that said, if he acts on the ground, the ground will bring in stamina into play.
Yeah, I've been on about this horse for the Arkle this year in terms of, like, you know, just thinking he's great record at Cheltenham, probably come up against something a bit better than him, but he's a really solid each way bet. But with the new, he's gone into like 3-1 now for the Arca. Like, he's been very well back because of, I guess, Kopech DeBoer not running here. William Hill is still a top price, 4-1 for the Arca. I mean, you couldn't say he was overly impressive here at Christmas. I still like this horse a lot. In this race, JD, as much as he would prefer a bigger field in many ways, I just feel Jack Kennedy, he knows him so well, he's a brilliant jockey. If you're backing a horse at a short price, I feel he'll be able to, he knows he's Cargesia to beat. He'll be able to have her measure. He'll be thinking in his head, okay, if I have her covered, I'll be okay here. This is a brilliant jumper of a fence. Leopardstown at Christmas will stand to him. There's no getting away from it. I mean, like, the betting suggested there was a doubt about Kopech DeBoer. We haven't really heard what's going on with him since, so I don't know what's going on there. It's disappointing he's not running here, but this is a disappointing grade one.
Sandown, once again, subject to a Saturday morning inspection. Soft to heavy ground for the City Isles. Novice Chase, 240, four runners, 2.5 miles. Kitzbue Hill for Willie Mullins and Harry Cobden. Brilliant winner at Kempton. At Christmas, jumping superbly. The trip in the ground, no issue. The one to beat. She got Miami Magic in there, 6 mile bridge. And Calaconti, the mare.
Yeah, cracking little races. Two runners coming over from Ireland and 6 mile bridge, no slouch. I was in Mallow when, in hindsight, Calaconti was a great bet at 7-2 when she beat Far From Nowhere. The reason she was 7-2 that day was because Jay de Grugy was in the race, who wasn't anywhere near her best. Now, I do feel the last day at Cork, maybe she was overpriced, taking on Cargese. She was 11-4, and I feel it was almost as if punters thought she was completely flattered by the day before, when she was brilliant again. Now, Cargese for me is definitely a lot better than that, and I feel that Kitzbühel's performance at Kempton at Christmas, the one problem with that run, JD, was his jump at the last. It was so exuberant that people have this kind of like recency bias. They think of a really happy time. It was the 26th of December. I'd just gotten engaged, like, so it was in great. I was buzzing. But even if I hadn't, that race was like the King George. Like, that day was just like everyone was buzzing. And Kitzbühel fed into this feeling of like life is amazing here. Maybe we were reading a bit too much into that, but he was brilliant. He jumped so well. So dropping back in trip, I'm not too worried about.
What about Leopardstown, the other grade ones on Sunday? We have a novice chase and a novice hurdle to look at as well. So the novice chase at 1:10 Sunday, final demand odds on. Kay Doughty, second favourite. Jimmy DeSoy, who probably wants better ground, is third favourite with Western Fold, fourth favourite, Rushman to the outsider. Is this one in these conditions? You'd have to expect Final Demand should win.
Yeah, I mentioned him earlier in the show. Obviously, I wasn't sure about the hype at Leopardstown, and then I followed him in at Cheltenham. I was actually a bit disappointed him at Cheltenham. He does remind me a bit of Denman, this horse. And Denman was beaten by whom at Cheltenham as a novice hurdler?
Nicanor.
Nicanor. I remember that day. Like, he
20
couldn't
years
be beaten.
Ago.
He probably wasn't odds on, but he was short. 20 years ago, wow.
Tony Hassett, the trainer, gave us Nicanor.
There you go.
In the bar beforehand. And gave me Harry Molly as well.
33-1 for the late Joe Crowley.
And Sky's the Limit. There's three.
DJ of the late Edward O'Grady, who was honoured in a race at Gorn the other day.
I did a lucky 63 and I left out Nicanor and Sky's the Limit. The only one I put in was Harry Molly. Imagine I put all three of them in.
There is a case of, you know, if what's, and but the fact is, you remember, you've gotten life out of that story for 20 years. Do you want to,
I think there was
now?
A fourth horse as well. I think it was Juvenier was the year before, because the year before I won 1500 quid off a lucky 63, but I had DeSoto in the last, the bumper at 20-1. And
who trained that?
Paul Weber. And was beaten by Miss Thatta Willie Mullins by about the length of your arm. And it would have been 15 grand.
That's what I love about racing and having a few bets on horses. Like, you will have these stories of hard luck stories.
You had a 33-1 winner in it. It all first.
Yeah.
So I the hard part done.
And you're telling me this now. This is bringing me back to that time. Where was I? Like, what does this mean to me? Where did I watch Sheldon that year? I love it. Like, this is why racing people, we get it. Like, we've great stories forevermore.
Like, they are seen as the mugs, bets,
they're not
multiples. But if you can get, like, imagine I put Glenn Gooley and I picked two or three others.
Yeah.
Like, you're into,
it's life changing money.
Yeah.
That's why we need to get a Saturday bet back for like the housewives of the country to get involved and everyone to get involved just for a euro where you can win the sweeps. Like, you can win a life changing amount for a bit of crack in five or six races. Anyway, in that time, Nicanor, who was good in the day, he did beat Denon, who turned out to be a superstar.
Nicanor didn't like maybe he was got good, injured. Yeah, he didn't do anything else. So he didn't do anything else of major note.
Denman wasn't a hurdler, and that was the point. And that's what I'm saying, I suppose, in Final Demand's defence. He's not a hurdler. Taking on the new line and being beaten five lengths wasn't the worst thing in the world. I'm just wary, JD. Like, there's so much hype around this horse. I feel at like odds of 2-5. I'd probably still back him rather than lay him.
He's a watch race.
Yeah, or put him into one of your accumulators at short price. But I love this horse. He's a pleasure to watch.
140 on the final grade one we're going to look at on Sunday. Tattersall's Ireland Novice Hurdle, 2 miles. You've got a more open market for this. Talk the Talk, 9-4. King Rasco Grey, 3s. Batty Fad, 3s. The Reverend, 7. And then you're talking about 18-1, bar those. Because you like Talk the Talk, don't you?
Yeah, I tipped him at Christmas. It was the one bit of bad luck Sam Ewing had that day. It was an extraordinary, extraordinary unseat. Like El Cairo, or El Kairos, whatever you want to call him, was unusual for Jack Kennedy. But this was just so... it wasn't one of those falls that you think it would leave a mark. Because it was funny watching El Cairo yesterday. Like, he still made a bad mistake at the last. It's almost like it's in his head now. Whereas with Talk the Talk, it was one of the most unusual unseats. If you back this horse... Eventually, if you had this horse for the sweep, you'd be like, what? How did this happen? But he was brilliant. He's a great turn of foot. I might be slightly worried about the ground here, and he could drift a little bit further, but this horse, to me, looks the real deal.
This could be a good trial for the Supreme Novices.
Very much so.
Because you had King Rasco Grey, Batty Fad, the Reverend have all won there, and Starting 15 have all won their last races. I did, when I was going with Tom Malone, to pick 5 for Cheltenham that could run and could surprise. I picked Blake at 66-1 for the Supreme Novices on the basis of, look, the Royal Bond is not what it used to be, but he was second in the Royal Bond, unfancied. I think Nomida's coming back to something. As a multiple champion winning trainer, I think Blake is one to keep an eye on whatever he achieves in the game. Interesting, Davy Crockett is in there.
Just on the Supreme, Leader Dallier, who won Drum.
Yes.
I know we spoke about him and he was beaten at Christmas, but do not give up on him at all. 20-1, I think, for the Supreme. Definitely not give up on him. Worth the fiver. The horse you mentioned, Davy Crockett, I'm not really sure why he's 25-1. Maybe it's a ground related thing.
Out of Camelot and Annie Power.
Camelot, Annie Power, what a pedigree. And Camelot's getting some very good jumpers.
Hasn't run since September. Maybe that's
it. Hasn't run since September. And I do wonder, is there a plan for this horse that isn't a grade one at Cheltenham? Because he shouldn't be 25-1 on potential and form. If this race were run after Lestole and he was taken on, say, Talk the Talk and horse like that, what price would he be? I'm going to give one though at a crazy price here. 50s of William Hill. Switch from Diesel, and I tipped this horse up at Nace in the Ballymore the last time, and she travelled great, didn't get home over 2.5. She's going to be ridden in the nicest possible way. She's going to be ridden for black type, because realistically they know that the best way to
pick up the pieces
yeah. If she wins, unbelievable, but they're thinking with a view to her pedigree. If we come third, that's great. So she'll be ridden to come home. She will travel, in my view, straight 122. Her bumper form, she beat Carrigmore Spruce by 6 lengths. She was 2.25 lengths behind Bambino Fever. She was a very good bumper horse. Then won a 23 runner heavy ground Curra Maiden over a mile and a half. That takes a good filly, and she's still a maiden, but I definitely feel at 50s you're getting 10-1 she finishes in the first three. I like that bet.
Very good. Sam Norris, William Hill is on the line. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, chaps. Yeah, first question's got to be, what is the weather like over there at the minute? I mean, let's take some rain, can't it?
Yeah,
it can. Is it still raining?
But I mean, there's taken some rain and 60 mils in 24 hours, yeah. and another 22 whatever in the last 24. So
yeah,
we would be worried, but it will go ahead maybe 24 hours later at worst.
Yeah,
and I tell you, like, Ireland do so well compared to the UK at rearranging those meetings at short notice, like. We could easily see this meeting run Sunday, Monday. I think it would just take forever for us to get round to rearranging that in the UK. The best meetings are often saved in Ireland. But yeah, I mean, the place was like underwater Wednesday, Thursday. It's amazing they've been able to drink
Fingers
what
crossed.
They have had.
Yeah, and the thing is, regardless of what, when the meeting goes ahead, like, the ground is an issue for punters. Like, don't be lumping on horses here, because this is really unique ground. This was waterlogged ground at Leopardstown. They've had to do, they will have had to do a lot to us to even get it into good nick. And it'll be like, this is probably ground that, in terms of the water table, the water was quite low, but we've had so much rain in January, all of a sudden it's changed. So it's an unusual position for Leopardstown to be in. And what the jockeys say after the first race will be interesting. But yeah, Sam, I do know there has been a contingency plan in place for the last few days.
What about the Irish Gold Cup, Sam, scheduled for Saturday afternoon at Leopardstown? What are you seeing money wise?
Yeah, it looks an absolute belting renewal, doesn't it? And a decent sized field as well. Could be a good race for the each way extra markets, because I think there's a load of them in there with chances at bigger prices. You've got to make Galopin though, Champ, the favourite. Obviously, he's a three-time champion in this race. He's one of the worst Santi Post losers for us across the weekend, so we're dearly hoping we can get him beat. I mean, he was beat here over Christmas, obviously, by Afadel Fury and Iron Maximus. They're both available, you know, at 8-1 for Afadel and even bigger price for Iron Maximus as well. But Galopin remains quite strong in the market. And as I say, he's a horse we would like to get beat. I do think that there might be an angle, again, maybe in those each way extra markets, looking at Spindleberry, who is going to get the mare's allowances here. She's looked very progressive. Danny Mullins rides, which I love, think he's a fabulous jockey. And we have seen a little bit of a tickle for her, actually. She was 10-1 into 7-1, albeit that support's dried up again a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised if there is something to beat Galopin, as was the case over Christmas. I think this race, given it 6-1 by the Fab, has got a really good each way look to it. And Spindleberry was kind of the one I landed on at bigger prices.
I totally disagree with Sam on it having an each way, good each way look to it. I think there are so many doubts around so many of the horses. But Danny Mullins, who you mentioned, one of the most enigmatic jockeys around, he will have a plan. He's like, he will be visualising.
He's usually a front running jockey,
but he's apt to go out like into the car park if he thinks it'll win the race. I've seen him in a race in Begging extraordinary stuff last year on a horse. He's, you know, and we saw the Gaelic Warrior, Ilete Tom, wasn't it, at Limerick 2 years ago, which we'll never forget. Danny will have a plan. He'll be thinking, what are the other jockeys doing? He'll be sussing out Paul Towning, give or take. How are you going to ride? What will the ground be like in the day? Won't be good enough to win.
Yeah, I like Stellar Story at a crazy price. That's 3:30 Saturday at Leopardstown.
And don't listen to your bookmaker telling you this is a good each way bet. It is a tricky one though, and it'll be a good punting race.
Any more than 8 runners is always good each way for me. Yeah. What about the Dublin Chase and 2:10 on Sunday scheduled at Leopardstown? Sam, Mashborough, Marine Nationale, all in there.
Yeah, and it's been Marshborough who's been the strong one in the betting. We've laid this horse all week, really, 9-4 into 7-4. I mean, for me personally, as a punter, the jumping errors are too pronounced, too frequent for me to be thinking about getting involved. He does obviously run Leopardstown, you know, quite well, but he got beat here last time around. Marine Nationale has been weak. Obviously, we're a little bit in the dark as to whether Barry Connell's definitely going to run him, but he's even money out 2-1. Whether he gets his conditions, etc. You know, he's the superstar in this division. He's the outstanding 2 mile chaser. If he runs Marine Nationale, I think he might go off a bit shorter than the current 2-1. But yeah, Marshborough's been the one that they've backed. And Solness, you know, people are starting to kind of come around to him as a horse now. You know, he's probably won enough of these races to think, well, he isn't just fluking them. We know how he's going to be ridden. He'll go from the front under JJ Slevin. He beat Marshborough last time around, beat Marine Nationale last time around, albeit it was a Herculean effort really for Marine Nationale to get to where he did behind Solness. But the price has kind of gone with him. He's 7-2, but I think punters are starting to treat him a little more seriously. But again, Marshborough's strong, which I don't get. I'm just not sure he jumps well enough at the top level.
Sam makes a key point there. If you back one of these horses, there will be a rule four if Marine Nationale doesn't run. And going back to what you said at the start of the show, JD, this is one horse who absolutely should not run if it compromises his Cheltenham chance. And running him on a bog would do that, in my view. So he's a horse that I'd be thinking Cheltenham is it for you this year.
Irish Champion Hurdle 3:20 Sunday at Leopardstown. Sam, you have Lassie Mouth and Brother Days ahead of against each other again. El Fabiola was Johnny's pick.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that. And Johnny's not alone with El Fabiola. Obviously, looked a lot more comfortable back over hurdles last time around. Second from that day's come out and won again subsequently, so the form's got a nice look to it. This is the race. I mean, look, there's, what, 9 grade ones over the course of the weekend. You don't want to say our entire weekend's going to hinge on one race. But this is perhaps the race where the trainers have taken a bigger view than a lot of the grade ones, and they are happy to get Lossy Mouth in the book. She's 5-4 at the moment. We've laid her as big as 11-8. We will be looking to take her on between now and race time. As a result, she's a loser in the book, but Brighter Days Ahead has only got a length to turn around with Lossy Mouth from their meeting at Christmas. And the traders believe that we've also got El Fabiolo on side and Zadam on side, who again, to me, has looked a little bit difficult the last twice, and Zadam, but Harry Cobden takes over. You know, El Fabiolo, as we mentioned, back over hurdles last time around, he looks a lot happier. So quite a bullish view in the trading room that we can get Lossy Mouth beat In this one. If we can, that'll be a big key to the weekend. So anything but Lossy Mouth will do. El Fabiola will be fine. We'll be trying to keep him on side. Bit of a shame Ballyburn isn't declared, because again, we thought he might be a horse that we could keep on side as well. But yeah, they're anti-Lossy Mouth in the trading room.
Right, Sandown Saturday, the Silly Isles Novice Chase 240. If it goes ahead, Sam, what about it?
Yeah, Mullins versus Elliott, could have just tagged this on Philippa's stamp card, really, couldn't they? Save everybody the trip. Look, Kit Spall created a lasting impression when winning a boxing at Kempton on Boxing Day. He's the favourite 4-5. We are seeing a little bit of interest, though, for Calaconti. There maybe won't be as much between the two of these come race time as there is now. You know, Calaconti hammered Carghese at Cork last time around, who might give Romeo Coolio something to think about in the Irish Arkle in the race following this. It might not have been a fully tuned up Carghese on that occasion, but I don't think this is a formality for Kit Spall, despite how impressive he was in the Corto Star and forms working out with horses like Wendigo and Salva coming out and winning subsequently. But there is interest in the mare, Calaconti, and we think she might go off a little closer to Kit Spall at the moment. The two English representatives are good horses, but probably not grade one animals. So it does look a shootout between Mullins and Elliott, but there might not be this gap in the betting come 2:40 tomorrow if it goes ahead.
Best backed horse then for you, who's getting all the money, Sam, somewhere?
Yeah, we'd like to get Lossy Mouth beat. We'd like to get Galopin des Champs. They're both losers in the book. And another, it's not really left field because it is in a grade one race, but King Rasco Grey in that novice hurdle that you chaps mentioned beforehand. We'd be very happy if Johnny's pick was to win that Talk the Talk, because King Rasco Grey has been well backed all week, which... it's something of a surprise, given there's a lot more, you know, kind of popular public horses, the likes of Galopin des Champs, Lossy Mouth. You know, they're going to have their supporters through the course of the week. We've only seen King Rasco Grey once, and yet punters have wanted to get on this horse pretty much since the market opened. He's now 3-1 from an initial 9-2. He's Paul Tannen's picking the race as well. So he is another loser in our book, King Rasco Grey. And you know, one of the better horses that perhaps isn't quite a household name as of yet. One of the better backed horses this week.
I'm going to do the job of William Hill here and give Supreme Novice Hurdle Betting, just in case you are interested. King Rasco Grey and the aforementioned Leader Dallier, both 20-1. Right. And they, I mean, we've felt all along that Willie Mullins would take the easier option with Bambino Fever, which, to be fair, you can kind of see if the race is there. Old Park Star is dominating. It's kind of slightly on hype, and Talk the Talk is 8-1. So this race is going to have a big bearing on it. My Daddy Paddy, still only 10-1 despite being beaten at Christmas.
Right. John, you got a 50-year charity bash, 25 each way or 50 on the nose. What are you picking this week on the racing pod?
I'm going to go for a little bit of value here, switch from Diesel in that aforementioned race. Actually, I know you might laugh at me and say this, you know, she's no chance, but we're hopefully picking up the pieces on very bad ground in the 140 Leopardstown on Sunday. Switch from Diesel, who's 50-1, so 10 ponies if she manages to place.
You're going to go 25 each way.
Yeah.
Switch from Diesel, 50-1 in the 140 at Leopardstown on Sunday in the Novice Hurdle, the grade one there for Ossa Sullivan and Daniel King. Is Johnny Ward's charity bet this week on the Racing Pod. And his charity bet, folks, won last week. Spillane's Tower, 7-2. So keep the stakes small, but you know what to do. Sam Norris, thanks so much.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Johnny, thanks. And let's hope, keep the rain away, Johnny. Look forward to the Dublin Race Festival.
Yes, indeed. And I see on the exchanges, it's odds on now that it'll go ahead tomorrow. So maybe there's something in it.
That was the Racing Pod. Speak to you soon, folks. Take care.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball. Rugby.
And there was no doubt there was a lot of disappointment in the Galway air that they didn't have this win, because they're sick of losing Interpros and they're sick of losing to Leinster. That's 13 defeats in a row to Leinster, and it's 10 Interpro defeats out of 10 in the last two seasons.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.